May 30th, 2010 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Look around you. The apocalypse has arrived in increments. Who starred in that movie Death and played the chronic blues when untrust leaves began to flirt and fall in wayward carpets? In the full moon, snail paths veer to the west. A cameo of tree roots grown around a stone, helpless in secret form of unyielding might. Creation lets us duplicate ourselves through the eons of blood and science, synchronized neon and dashboard lights in pirouettes of electric life. There's no way out of the brain. It's an Escher walnut. Some blow it out. Others take up religion, drugs, the arts, and Zen.
Watt from Pedro Show, May 30, 2010, Sunday, sunny Sunday in Pedro. I'm by myself, I'm in my pad. No, I'm actually not by myself because via the magic of Skype, my guest today is Miss Peek, who's coming to us live from Thailand.
Hello?
Yeah, we've got some kind of buzzing because... she has a problem with the fan on her pewter.
Bangkok heat.
And, you folks should be aware that Bangkok is not the most cool of places, especially coming up on June, huh? What is it?
Right.
Rainy season?
Starting to be, yes.
So, her Mac purse has two fans, and one of them's kind of... It hadn't been working for a while now, because she has to do this show, of course it decided to try to work. But it's kind of that when you hear this buzz sound, that's what you're hearing. And it's right on board the pewter, and she has to use it to speak with me. So please bear with. Maybe the audio quality doesn't have to take precedence over the intellectual quality of this visit. You're laughing. I should say what we started with, huh? It was, of course, John Coltrane with Serenity. And then we heard Look Around by Charles Plumel. Serenity. Now in Bangkok, you have Serenity? I was just hearing sirens a little while ago.
Yeah, it happens about once or twice every night.
But it's a lot calmer it's been.
Oh yeah, it's near normal now. It's simmering.
Clean up.
It's cleaned up. And it's a lot of effort to regain the country's image, and they're doing a lot of PR
to bring tourists back. Yeah.
Well, and foreign investment.
And monies. Yeah.
Which I kind of have a serious issue with.
The foreign investment, not the tourists.
Well, it is a legitimate concern about this kind of economic reason, but everything that they ever talked about as far as like what the effect of this whole thing is happening is more like, how are we being seen to other people?
What is our image?
It's almost like, wait, why not talk about what's going on instead of how we are being seen as?
The situation had underlying reasons and causes that won't go away with just a public image.
Exactly.
Car wash or something. Yeah.
Right. And
if they're not addressed, do you think they'll come back? Now, you've been in the country now 6 months, right?
Yes.
And I remember we talked maybe a month or two. You were a guest on the show after you arrived there. And none of this stuff was happening.
Not yet.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of...
It was simmering underneath.
Snowball was being built.
Yeah. But in between the two times we've talked, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that's, you know, had any kind of news. Because it was big, big, big news. I think one of the things, talking to people about it, not Thai people, but outside people like me, is this idea of Thai people being the happy people.
Right.
Even though there's been a lot of coups and changes of government, not so democratic over the years, for some reason this one here really grabbed people like, these are the happy people, and they're not very happy.
Right. There's a lot of reasons for that, but on one hand, you hear a lot of people not wanting to assume the worst because we believe collectively that no matter what happened, it couldn't be that bad. You know, so people were sitting on the problems for a long time.
Like somehow it'll work out.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a super passive culture.
Yeah.
And you kind of step over each other's feelings. But at the same time, there's some other issues at work and nobody really have a finger on it. I kind of occasionally went to look around and what's going on, and I knew it was something different this time, but I also couldn't tell what was going on. But I knew the new thing about it, it was like all kinds of hate speech that being instilled into these people who have legitimate problems from home, you know, and they have no other choice except to go towards anger for building up for revolution and everything because they start to believe in the cause. And so it's almost like not surprising to me things come to a blow.
You mean the last time when you were in Thailand before, you didn't hear these things?
No, not such a language, not such organization. And it's very curious, like, you know, people are super vulnerable here. They are really latching on to something to believe in, and
you mean like easy answer?
Yeah, easy answer. And so they grab onto this model of new democracy, and nobody really sat down and discussed in detail what does it look like. If you want this, what does it look like? You know, you want dissolution of the government, and then what? What is your competing policy? And
what will you replace it with?
Exactly. So yeah.
So this is. You have a suspicion that maybe there was some organization of this. It wasn't all such grassroots. Maybe the former prime minister.
Right. There's many groups involved, and people don't really break it down. And this is another thing that frustrates me about Thai people. It's like when you argue about the demand. Right? It's as simple as what the Reds are demanding. I'm like, wait a second.
You mean the red shirt? The red shirt.
The red shirt, yeah. And it's like, wait a second, can you even identify what the Reds are and what they stand for and the issues? And it's like, there's so many groups that join together for a common cause, which is like common enemy, you know, and attack the other side with.
You were asking red shirt people this, or red shirt supporters.
I wouldn't engage anyone politically. I only want to listen what they want.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you were asking.
Yeah, I ask everyone I can, everywhere I go.
Well, what about yellow shirt people? Did you ask them?
I didn't come across any because they stay really quiet. If there's any, but I did come across with, you know, some of my old friends were like just announcing, I'm so yellow. It's because of, you know, in opposition of what's going on. But it's still like this whole shirt color thing I still don't get. It's like, really? You really need a color to like try to simplify your issues? Because things are not simple.
No, but would you say that there was any legitimate a grievance from these red shirt people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They come from, you're from the country, right? Your people?
I kind of mixed. You know, I came from a okay family in the poor part of, you know, non-Bangkok is considered poorer.
North part?
Yeah, anywhere else. Maybe not the southern so much, but that's still foreign investment. But local people outside of Bangkok, basically, but the red shirt, the pretty much sort of, most likely you can assume north and northeastern people.
Yeah. Which is kind
really
of farm.
Like farming.
Yeah, and, yeah, farm people.
Yeah.
And yellow shirt people, maybe more of the town, Bangkok?
Yeah, it's a little bit more elitist or educated or upper class.
So you can identify then maybe have a background in north with some of these folks?
Mm-hmm.
Red shirt
folks?
Only
because in my background, I, on my personal adventure as a teenager here, I was, because I have mentioned in the past on your show about the certain music that, you know, it's a revolutionary Thai music that was more in line with the sympathizing of poor, and that's, it's called Songs for Life, and it's a whole other subculture that
from
I adapted to.
From the 70s?
Yeah, it started from the 70s.
Kind of folk traditions, some?
Yeah, a little folk, a little more country folk kind of, you know, the leaders in this kind of music model themselves after Bob Dylan. And
yeah.
So singer-songwriter, guitar, you know. And they go around in different places and sing to poor people for, you know, for their cause.
Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm, country. And
no, Woody Guthrie.
Yes, Woody Guthrie. so I, you know, since I was young, I was a bit more aware of the hardship through this kind of music, and it was kind of became my concern. I wish I'd done more, but I don't know.
You were young.
I was 13. I was for it. Like, I went out with them and with university students and reached out to.
But these people from the 70s, did they have a place in this, what just happened in the last couple of months?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's every single thing. It's so interesting to me because it turned out to be something else. People grab onto something for a certain cause, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this time, of course, they used the music, some music, not all of them, to further their cause, you know? Like, just whatever that works, into the gimmicky campaign or PR or advertising campaign or unity of the people. The poor always get crap, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a certain sentiment. Certainly the style, like the clothing style, is coming from that kind of music culture. Onwards from there to militancy, because this music also kind of have a tinges of Che Guevara thing going on, and so there's a lot of Che Guevara's images being used in this whole red movement too.
Yeah.
It's like, and they call it class war and all that stuff. But, you know, walking around into the protest area, which they took over this fancy commerce area, is, you can't not notice the fancy projector every 200 feet or even 50 feet. Every 50 feet, there's projectors, there's a sound system that is, like, is unbelievable, and the stage is all fancy, but everything is decked out with bamboos and tires, and it's almost like it was staged. And I can see this. But the people feel like they organize themselves, but like, no, somebody organized for you. You just fill in a role where they want you to be. And these are the models, these are the signs, these are the campaigns you put it over.
Did a lot of people come in from the country?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how were they brought in? Did they come on their own?
Some are paid, I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't really need much. You just need to get the ball rolling. Like I said, yeah. It's a snowball being built. And once you get the sentiment going, of course, there's anger or togetherness enough for people to go, I'm for this cause. I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go to Bangkok.
And there's free food everywhere, free water everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, facility was given, and, you know, it was well organized. And it was like, to me, I could live there.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So
you're skeptical of this red shirt movement?
It's...
Who's behind it? Are you skeptical?
Yeah,
what about the yellow side? Are you skeptical?
The yellow side, I haven't learn much about, but there's also a disconnect. Like, people who are yellow seem to not understand why it is that people would be so pissed, you know. And they kept saying, like, which is also true. They don't understand exactly what the problem is. Like, they don't know
there's poverty in the north. They have no.
Well, they do, but they don't. They don't accept the accusation that the government currently is
responsible.
Not legitimate.
Ah.
So.
Well, is that government? It's probably their man. No.
Well, you know, yeah. And
you wouldn't call the guy in office, right? What's his name?
A piston.
Yeah, you wouldn't call him neutral. Would you say was kind of pro?
From what I noticed, he just has his own thing going.
He's not a yellow shirt man.
At least he's trying not to look like it.
Yeah. But what's your suspicion?
Out of anything, so something always remains true, no matter who it is or how bad or good.
Yeah.
It's that people who are in the power will want to keep the power for whatever cost. And his entire tactic is about looking good and not looking like he's too heavy-handed or too light-handed. And he just wants to keep the power. I mean, for better or worse, his administration is Obama style.
All right.
And in fact, he probably got elected, well, not by the people, but by the representatives who voted him in. It's because of Obama's wave. Obama would represent new, young, you know, not supposed to be politics as usual, a little inexperienced or whatever, but he's sort of good-looking, well-educated, and well-qualified on paper. So this guy kind of rolled in with that, too.
Well, this guy rolled in because the army got rid of the guy before.
Well, this is many folds over. Like, there was already two elections.
Yeah.
Right? And they got delegitimized because the red-ish won, and the last got disqualified and such.
Yeah.
So this one just came in power by vote of representatives of different
prominent
parties.
The guy before, Mr. Thanskin, he claims he is not head of the red.
Oh, yeah, of course, because he don't want to be responsible for what the hell.
But you think his money's is involved?
Some, yeah. And, you know, I'm saying all this, and I have also talked to a lot of people enough to kind of hear other things about, like, there's, like, the more you unfold, the more there is to be unfold.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a...
Tangle web is weaved.
Yeah, and the... You know, there's a lot of accusation. There's a lot of heavy, you know, like this borderline mobster mafia crap going on, like for centuries or something, with like including the royal families, different
Mr. Thanskin's
rivalries.
Mr. Thanskin's passed. He's from the north, right?
He's the first prime minister that wasn't from Bangkok.
Yeah, so maybe there could be an identification just on that.
Sure, of course. But his family's always been rich. His parents got rich, so he's always been rich. And he's practically a brilliant capitalist. And he has done well. And then together with actually the elitist system, he actually capitalized on that and made a lot of money.
The system that's under attack now.
Yeah. And you should see, you know, like the buildings that were being burned, that got burned. And it's like, it's almost like every other building. And why is that? Because this is, again, go back to the mafia within the group. They would just point out which buildings to go burn because that is their competitor.
Rival.
Yeah. And it's always business rivalries going on. There's political rivalries. There's mob rivalries in there. And then you got an element of foreign fighters that nobody talked about because there's no confirmation.
No, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so-called neighbor countries that would want nothing more than the collapse of the Thai nation, you know? So you got many likely insurgency coming in and start shooting or doing whatever just to destroy, you know, just piggyback on the problems and make it worse. There's a lot of suspicion because Cambodian don't like us.
There was this argument over a temple on the border, right?
Oh, yeah.
That problem was happening right when you moved. I think this boss...
Coincidentally, he was working for the Cambodian government.
Yeah. It was interesting how there was implications. And you told me yourself, you thought some nationalism was being stirred using this issue to stir up some...
Yeah. Nationalism has always been here. And this is also another thing I'm having a little head turn about because, I'm sitting around and talking about it, and every political term that I'm using is only resemble conservatism here. Nationalism, soldiers, law and order, and curfews, and heavier handling of the rioters, and I'm like, it sounds very conservative to me, but it's like, it's the only way this country can stay as autonomous, you know,
but speak at the beginning. You said that the problems really have to be addressed. It's not just about control of the acute situation because there's problems.
It's the same problem it's always ever been. And then the sad part is like the poor people this time got wrangled into losing their lives. Supposedly, if we know who they are, you know. Losing their lives over the same upper class elitist fight over power.
Yeah.
You know, either way they get used.
Puppet show. Yeah. Isn't there an old Thai tradition of puppet shows? It's very famous, isn't it?
Too.
Right? They're very famous. Yeah. I've seen them. There was an exhibition at one of the airports I was in. They were very elaborate.
Construction of it.
Yeah. And
very amazing, yeah.
And also, there's a whole culture of the craft and the art.
Yeah, very, very intricate stuff. And it only reminds me of how, you know, the more I stay here, the more I feel like, okay, it's like on the surface, you see a bunch of smiley-faced people, easygoing, hanging around, you know, having easy lives, but really the entire culture has been a long history of complicated different folding and things behind doors, and you know, we sometimes you can call it corruption, sometimes you call friends helping friends, and you know, different circles and different level of circles. It's just insane, you know. No wonder everybody always just wants to be the most connected and the most well off and the most powerful, because that's how you thrive in this country.
On the other side, it feeds frustration to the disenfranchised, yeah. Though. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's why I see the legitimate concerns are there. Like, what can you do if the police start abusing you all the time?
Yeah, right.
If you don't have any connection, you just suck it up, you know?
Yeah.
And I see unhappiness when I see, I guess I got pulled over once in a motorcycle, and we both were just sitting there and waiting for something. And I can feel the motorcycle guy was just like, He's like this. Police is waiting for a bribe. Just waiting for a bribe. And I was just like, you know, kind of like, use my tactic of stupid my way out of it. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just trying to go over there.
Because he couldn't say anything, but it's implied, hey, if you want out of this situation, pay up.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know. And then he couldn't let us go like that fast because it doesn't look good to his other police guy.
Yeah, right.
But a few minutes later, he let us go. Just like go. So
you dodged the money bullet.
I still don't know why. I mean, I don't know why he got pulled over. He's just like, this is one bribe.
So that's not an atmosphere for people being happy.
Yeah, you're supposed to be accepting of, like, whatever comes to you. Like, oh, this is the way it is.
I want to play some Thai music, but then I want to get back and ask you about Western media representation of this situation.
Okay.
เราขยับเข้ามาใกล้ชิดตัวผมจะแจกแรกแจม3ปี ISO เข้ามา8ปีก็มีออยอแล้วเป็น7 3ปี You want to fuck with me ปีใหม่ตุ๊กที่สงการไม่ว่าจะวันรายงานพวกเราก็ยังขับการเกย์คิงเกย์ควีนเราไม่รับทอมบี้เลสเบี้ยนเฉลยครับถ้าไม่ที่ใครก็ลองเลยครับหาตัวผมได้ในทิกในผับวันนั้นมันโดนจะกันได้ครับตัวดำลองมาเช็คอินสักคำสักคำสักคำคืนนี้อ้าวคิวผมนายยาวเป็นปีชาสำรองเองตอนนี้โปรโมชั่นไม่อันตลอดวันตลอดปีสิบห้ายกสิบหกยันกำลังดีเกิน30พีไม่รับพีไม่ทับเส้นเล็กเส้นใหญ่ไม่กินพีกินเป็นเส้นพีอย่ามาแกว่าพีเป็นคนนาหูตาเดียวมันก็เที่ยวมันเลี้ยวรถมันตอกตอนมันทอนไทยเข้าไปในมดลูกตัวไม่เล็กไม่ใหญ่ตัวมันไร้กระดูกเดินไปเลยมาตามันลายหน้ามันไล่กระจุดรากของพี่มีลายแบบมีลายสูงสุดยอดสุดยอดแล้วพี่นั้นมันโคตรจะโซ
มองทะเลเมืองสลัวลมทะเลพัดหน้ากลัวทิ้งหน้าเสียงคลื่นสาดซัดเป็นเกลียวเกลียวกระจาย
wanna be our friend, so they can cruise down to Posh Park residence. All the girls around town wanna copy our style.
Watt from Pedro Show. We have some better sound now. Miss Peek fixed her. She probably broke it. Would you take a hammer to it?
That's right.
But we don't have that annoying buzz. We did play some Thai music. Karee Boy by Pork Shop Boy. Talay? T-A-L-A-E?
Talay.
Talay, okay. Talay by Try. Buma Ratna. It means the sea?
Kalei, yeah.
Like ocean?
Okay. Ocean.
Battle Hymn of the Ghost Republic by Ghost Story. And finally, Don't Underestimate the Diet Pill. Don't Underestimate the Diet Pill. By, of course, the Diet Pills. And, I mean, we were going to talk about some Western thing of the media. But first I'd like to speak about hearing this music here in... I mean, I like the way the Pork Shop Boy spoke in Thai and stuff, but the way they assimilate the foreign or Farang music styles is so intense. I mean, it's not just Thailand. I've heard this in a lot of, I don't know what you call it, emerging. It's funny to call these other lands emerging because they were all here before the U.S., long before. So that, it's...
I know.
Yeah,
I just thought about this, okay? I just thought about it. This one point where when I lived in the U.S., everything is about the U.S., like, yeah. You know, like, self-obsessed.
Yeah.
And now I moved here, it's like, it's about everything else but itself. Like, how itself is being seen, not how itself is, you know?
And feels.
Yeah, and then they use like this music format and frames to put a little Thai things underneath, maybe some language, maybe some. But it's still like this part of the whole disconnection between the classes, the rich and the poor, whatever. That's, if you know of a Western format, you are better off. You are cooler. You are more successful. And you're more popular, and it feeds on itself, you know, like, you do it and people buy it.
Right. Whereas if you have something from the tradition, you're from, oh, that's over. That's old news.
Yeah, it's two things. Yeah. Well, tradition is either old-fashioned or it's done for tourism.
Oh, yeah, kitsch.
Yeah. So there are a lot of programs to, like, promote those things, but it's still a little pushing it, like...
Yeah.
You know, you want to promote something, but not understanding the history of it. You just want it to look good.
Yeah, like Disneyland ride.
Yeah. And that's why it's like everything is about tourism and foreign, you know, like those, then goes back to your question about the foreign media covering the event.
Do they have a word yet for... those events, has it been called anything?
No.
Doesn't have like a name, a catchword, and a branding yet?
Not yet.
The Days of Rage or...
Mob.
The Mob Days.
Yeah. How long? It's been called Mob for a long time, these things.
How long did it last? 6 weeks?
The whole thing is started later February.
That's
so
right.
It's 2-3 months, it got heated. I mean, it started, like February, March, but it got one crash on April 10. That was like, I think 20 people die.
Right,
something.
Right. So 6 weeks of very intense.
Yeah, and then, all those people were martyred and used and paraded around. There's a lot of pictures of their, mutilated bodies over and over in, around campsite. And they used the number, 22 or whatever as, part of their cause, even though almost half of those were soldiers. It's really crazy,
Well, they were soldiers, but they were Thai people, so...
Yeah, exactly. So I'm talking in random here, but part of the things I also noticed is that's one sentiment, the soldiers really are Thai first. Like, everybody's Thai first.
Of course.
But the whole campaign is trying to grab onto this symbolism of red against yellow and protester against soldiers, even though, it's a well-known fact that some of the soldiers were red. And they even have a nickname. They call him Watermelon. Green on the outside, red on the inside.
Ah.
So, yeah, there's some soldiers, they're trying, they're...
Well, wasn't one faction boss an ex-general?
He was an ex-policeman.
Okay.
So, and word on the street is that, two-thirds of the police force is with him. That's why there was such a difficulty organizing some kind of police or military actions, because they didn't know who's with who. And then the police and soldiers and the army itself kind of in itself autonomous enough to can just choose to not do a thing if they want to.
Right.
Prime Minister can't do anything about it. The general is not ordering.
There's also rivalry between the police and the army?
Well, they never really against each other. Usually they just sidestep each other.
Yeah.
They don't want to intrude.
Each has their own territory.
It's not even territory. It's, mental territory.
Yeah, I'm not talking physical. Like turf.
Yeah.
That they work.
But it's not so cut and clear. Usually, there was a while back, there was a, this is such complicated little long history, but there was a blue shirt that was built up by de facto from the red shirt's right-hand man. He turned yellow, and then he suspectedly started a blue shirt group, which is supposed to be for government or something. I don't know what blue shirts were for, but underlining is supposed to be a military personnel in high ranking, that if they show up, the police within the red need to step aside, because it's silly.
Well, what happened was this red shirt faction guy was assassinated.
Oh, he was a rogue general.
That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he wasn't the general, he's one.
He was one who, kind of a rebel or something.
Yeah, and he's actually one of the first guy who I heard having used such strong opinions about. The whole thing started because the court handed order down for seizure of the asset of this former prime minister in the billion of baht. 75 billion or something, which is $2 billion, something like that, which is only a fraction of his money, and for corruption charges and whatnot. But so this whole the red shirt protest organization was because of that, and he, Thaksin, even came out and said that you can take a man's money, but you can't dishonor him or something, and this is war or whatnot. And then that was the first time I heard of this general guy who was hanging out in the south and said, I'm training a paramilitary group to take, to teach you what it's like, and this is going to be a revolution and all these hard words. And I'm like, oh, who is this guy?
Wow.
So the first I heard of him was back in February. And so I don't know if I'm going to get, like, you know, shot for saying this rumor, but there's all kinds of other underlining gangster mafia stuff supposedly going on where, like, all these people are entangled in some kind of, how do I call it, black market business.
Yeah.
And all the general included and other people who are supposed to do Thaksin's bidding. And if they're not, their family would be harmed. This is also another possibility of what happened as far as a sniper could have taken him out because they needed to round up, to wind up the crowd. I don't know. I mean, this is just, you know, it's almost like an old Kung Fu Chinese story of like a secret plots and plans and conspiracy stuff. Like, nobody will ever find out. Nobody. And this is something that I find unique about Thailand too, that you can probably track down a lot of drug transition pretty easily because it sets up that way. But if you want to track down murders and assassination, you never go anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so complicated. It's like everybody have multiple enemies, you know.
Yeah,
and
right.
Everybody can be killed for a number of reasons. And that's including, like, you know, when you go rioting and then some guy gets killed. It could just be some dude that didn't like his face and took the opportunity, you know. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's possible, but who knows. And that's what it comes down to. Like, I read a lot of analysts and intellectuals and different people have different opinions, but one thing they kind of starting to admit is like nobody really freaking knows what isn't.
These are Thai writers.
These are Thai people, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I came here this long because I'm starting to read Thai very well again, I think.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And even I talk to a lot of people who seemingly like a cultural critic and stuff, they just kind of resorted to the fact that, oh, Thai people are just too easygoing to, you know, anything, and it would be fine, it would be done. I mean, it is kind of done. And I knew when a lot of people know when all the crap went down, that it was going to be done with all of city on fire and everything. Like, you know, that's the thing, you know, that, like, what went on international media is like, it looked like it's worse, but at that time, the Bangkok people were pretty much like, finally, it's just going to just blow and be done with. And so we were waiting for it to conclude, and that was part of the conclusion. It's like, what can be worse? And it's still, even that, you know, it wasn't like a widespread attack. It was very targeted, and people know where not to be. You know, it sucks for people who live in that area, absolutely. But, like, you know, I live a couple miles from the nearest bomb that went off, or fires, you know, that went off. But I never for once felt threatened that it's going to come down here. And another thing I also noticed, that if it's in any other cities, because of the police actions and everything is focused on the protests, that the entire city would have been endangered from, like, small theft and robberies and everything else, but it wasn't.
Looting.
You know, looting is just random. There were some looting, but it was limited to 7-Eleven, which is like everywhere here. So there was just a few that some small thugs that took opportunities to just take over some, you know, robbing. But they got caught. They weren't that smart. They got caught, but yeah. Yeah, I'm all over the place with that one, but Western media was trying to read into a very, very complex situation.
Yeah, because you must have read on the internet and stuff outside reports.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because, like, you know, you can't, because, like, Western media have a very his sort of style, the format is about telling a story of what caused what and where is it going on a situation where it has no idea of the history.
No context.
And the context, situation, and the people at play, and who's really involved and who really isn't involved. And they're trying to make news out of this madness because it's crazy looking.
Yeah.
And so it's like an ink blot test, kind of like they just put on, you know, like somebody has to be a hero, somebody has to be a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they take sides, and who wins? Whoever that did the best PR. And it was a very, very heavy PR campaign on the red side part. Everything was written in English, and it was, you know, at the campsite, and it's so like it's given to you, and
oh, yeah.
And how could you not know this?
Okay, look, we got to continue because we're at the end of the first hour, May 30, 2010. Wow, from Pedro Show, hold tight for hour two. May 30, 2010, it's the second hour of the Wow from Pedro Show.
no, no, surrender, surrender. Watch us, what about bang bang? Two songs, three songs. What about car? Select a few other songs. Go on, give a chance.
Some chant, them a man, another man fall. This is sound boy, all day we sound dumb. So all the guns so stress, I want to fight and come. Cut a man face, next bike on your wall. No need it, we don't want it. No need to see it.
Watch it now.
She couldn't control it, I'm miserable. Says she wanted to know it, cause she try and flick it. Not to come as instinctive, I'm not all on her own. I'm not to pass in her home, talking he had to leave. I'm not all on my road, I'm taking her to get broken. I'm in the motor, I can't believe that to come with their chain. Because I got to oppress that she's a natural killer. I would not have a slaughter, I'm a young and sick lover. A beautiful Anna, a beautiful Anna. You a young and sick lover. Just to get over. Then she went from into murder. And she killed police, started coming now with their chain. Cause I got to win most of them and I think she's insane. Oh Anna, oh beautiful Anna. Anna on my route, taking drugs to be rough. Farming to murder. Wow.
Too much, you know.
Sometimes, them another man fall. And it's a sound boy, all day we sound. So, who looking so scared, want to fight and call. Cut a man brain, next breaking their wall. Don't want it, we don't need it, we don't need to see it. Who looking so scared, so want to fight and call. Sometimes, while I watch another man fall. And it's a sound boy, all day we sound. Who looking so scared, so want to fight and call. Cut another man brain. Some stun, them I watch another man ball. It's a sound boy, all day we sound all. All the guns are so what a fight and call. It's a cut a man, but they're breaking their wall. Some stun, them another man ball. This is a sound boy, all day we sound all. All the guns are stressed, what a fight and call. We don't need it.
Shall we know the time?
Watt from Pedro show. Started the second hour off with some contemporary music from Thailand that I found. I had asked Miss Peak to provide, but she got let down by some people. So I had to go search on my own to find some contemporary. I found, we started off the second hour with Nihilist Monkey Theory by the Eastbound Downers. Then No Cuss, No Fight by Bangkok Massive Sound System. Then Amplify Love by Notapol Sri Chom Kwan. And then finally, Pen Pai Day Nigai. By Apartment Kumpa. Apartment Kumpa. So that's got to be a combination of an English and a Thai word there. Yeah. What's a Kumpa?
Kumpa, I think that's ant.
So apartment ant.
Auntie.
Oh, like aunt, like your mother's sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your father's sister. Oh, okay.
Unless it said Kumpa, which means dad.
Or it means dad. Somebody in the family lives in the apartment with you. Okay.
Sure. Probably where it was recorded.
It's funny reading the descriptions of the bands because they're all, you know, purport to speak of everything Thai and, you know, the experience, the traditions. But then you hear the music, it sounds... It could be from anywhere.
Yeah, and I was comparing this to a political situation as well. It's like you have a country that have a strong, you know, cultural history, but it cannot make sense of itself unless it puts Western framework on it, because it wants to be international. It wants to be part of the global. Movement and modernization. You know, it has brains, it has skills, but it doesn't know what to do with itself.
Doesn't know what clothes to wear.
What's that?
Doesn't know what clothes to wear.
Yeah.
What should the bass player be playing?
Reggae hats and things to put on itself and figure that is the solution, you know?
But, you know, again, I want to tell you, I don't think it's particularly Thai. I remember, especially my first times going over to Japan, I would think to myself, I wonder what a real Japan young guy is like, because he's got these b-boy clothes on, and of course he shouldn't be wearing a kimono and stuff, you know, just like I don't wear a George Washington powder wig and tights and or Davy Crockett. Leather, frilly leather. You know, I understand not wearing ancient clothes, okay?
Sure.
And ancient kind of representation. But why does modern mean from U.S.?
Because the media, right? The TV and the music and the super makeup pop stars.
Yeah.
If it's so popular, it must be good. Right. Movies, you know?
Right.
Some people
got very upset. You know, I got that djembe in the mail. And I didn't even know what the fuck it was. I'm talking about the first one. Yeah, I have three
the
now.
One.
I have three now. But the original one, the blue one.
In fact, I think
you were there the first time I wore it in front of people at a gig.
Probably.
In the U.S. It was in Hollywood, yeah.
Yep. Safari Sam.
And it really fucked with people.
Uh-huh.
Like,
especially
you know, what's this about? What's this about? Why is that?
Why are you in your pajamas?
Yeah, right. Why are you in pajamas? And one guy thought it because I had a beard at the time. I was dressing like Moses. A lot of people didn't even know it was from Japan. But then, if they did find that out, why would you wear their clothes? But then, so I'm thinking in my mind, so maybe I wasn't so weird that expected these young people in these other countries, hey, wear your real clothes. No, but this clothes game is kind of a universal thing. Uh-huh. You know, what do we wear?
Enable is becoming, it makes more sense when you make your men wear them too.
I asked. And they actually fucked it up because he wore underwear. You don't rock the djembe with
you
fucking
don't.
Underwear.
Or rock at all with underwear.
Anyway, they were into it. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, it's us playing Halloween. We're wearing the costume, you know. But these guys, it's every day of their lives.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have to...
work clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But if they wear the djembe over there, it's being very traditional. I wore it because it felt good. I like the... They're very cool and comfortable. They don't handle sweat that well, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's very much showing the sweat.
But then,
you know, it's part of like, I worked hard.
I soaked that thing, man. Wow.
Nice.
It's very comfortable. But I actually wasn't even thinking about the context. I wasn't thinking, hey, do I look like fake Japanese guy? You know, it was very practical. I liked it. I liked the way it felt.
Mm-hmm. But you know,
there's other times.
You came this far for this long. I don't think people are going to think that you start faking it now.
But you know what? There are things I do for fashion, Miss Pete. I wear flannel. Yeah, I wear flannel at a gig. That is not comfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's very sweaty. I don't wear headbands.
No.
Although it might help with the sweat in the eye, right?
Yeah.
But I do not wear them.
Well, the day you do, just let me know.
Why? Then you call my band Loverboy? That's what I think of. I think of that singer in Loverboy with the headband on.
Photographic evidence.
Yeah, so... Deepoon wore a headband sometimes, or like a bandana wrapped around his forehead.
Yeah,
but,
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, but I just never had the nerve. So.
I guess you have to be a guitar player to do that. Yeah. You can't be a bass player and wear that.
No. Last night I played in Long Beach and I wore a coat I found. Raymond gave me 25, 27 years ago. I found it in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had the phone number from the... Charlie from the Plugs, the drummer of the Plugs. I found a phone number in the pocket. Chalo.
And you called it?
And I didn't call it, but I did wear the coat. And I got very sweaty.
Yeah.
The point being is I don't do everything for practical reasons. Sometimes I am fashion person.
It is noted.
But the djembe... I did totally for practical reason. I wasn't thinking of fashion.
But yet it made more of a statement.
It did. It got people kind of wigged out. Some people got really tripped out on it. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
well,
I was like I was making statement.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people can just ready to be thrown into a blender a little bit.
But you could, like, put on backwards baseball hat and b-boy... clothes, hammer pants in Thailand, and it would not be that big of a statement, right? Be almost status quo?
Here, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They just wear that stuff for each other. It's not like, maybe because of my age, I'm just jaded. Like, oh yeah, kids just, you know, doing that trend thing.
What do you wear, rush shirts?
You know, it's funny. It's like a red shirt is gonna be so out of fashion for a long
no,
time.
Not red shirt, rush shirt.
Oh, rush. Excuse me. Yeah, if I can find it. No, you know what? One thing I can't figure out is the stripper high heels that the Thai girls are wearing these days.
They're big high heels.
Crazy high heels, and I'm like. The road is not made for these shoes, for sure. Not that the shoes were made to be worn in the first place. Like, how do you even run into a bus like this? I mean, I see them on buses. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? You have totally hurt yourself.
Not so practical.
Not so practical. But,
yeah.
You it's another whole other thing I'm watching here. It's a
battle of the image.
Yeah, very much.
We are defined by how we are seen. This is, I think, a kind of a fundamental point you're making about the red and yellow shirts.
Yeah, and you know, like, and the other part that I haven't brought up is like, there are a lot more money than I ever noticed here. Maybe it's the import laws, or I don't know what, but there's like expensive things like. The biggest mall that got burned down, it was like one of the fanciest mall I ever seen. I walked in and I felt completely out of place. Like, why do you need this high end thing that costs thousands or, you know, baht?
Yeah.
Like, just marble floor is just insane. It's like Rodeo, like in the middle of Bangkok.
And Rodeo, I'm like, Drive.
Who buy these things? And then you see all these cars, and it's like not just like, you know, a regular BMW is not fancy enough. It has to be some kind of M models or something. So an imported car is already twice as much, if not three times. And a special model at that, you know, it's like it's almost like you're dancing on other people's poverty.
And then know? And being obvious about it.
Yeah. And it's all tinted and everything. So, oh, you have this whole thing they call the high so, which is short for high society. That, you know, it's like, oh, you're part of that. That's one thing. And another thing is sort of related is the desire to be light skinned. And this is like, it can be as funny, haha, as serious as, you know, like, they sell products to whiten the skin, and it's, and the advertisement, every freaking wear is like this ultra light, barely tight looking women, and they're all associated with the high society and the elitist, and the, you know, the whiter is the better. So all these poor people, not only that they're poor, they also don't look the part.
Yeah.
So
there's an interesting parallel, maybe Mexico.
Yeah, I heard that.
The more
too.
Indian, the more ethnic, indigenous you look, maybe not as high up. And the women actually bleach in the hair to be blondes.
Oh, yeah, not here. But maybe it's some colored, but the color, the hair is still okay.
Okay.
But
not that far yet.
Yeah, not there yet.
This whole struggle to define yourself by how you appear.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of appearances, again, what did you find? A Western analysis of the troubles versus Thai analysis of the troubles. You flowed me an essay by a Thai man, and you thought was quite eloquent. Had better words than you could.
Yeah, that was about how the Western media having to tell a story of the current event. They I think I kind of touched on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Last hour of how it needed like a David and Goliath story.
Yeah.
And always reference sort of an idea back to something that Western audience can understand.
Right, a package.
Yeah, it's packaged that way, and it's in a way, you know, sort of shut down. Because really, I mean, the audience don't really have that much of an attention span. They just want to know. I mean, I get questions like that all the time. It's like, what's going on? And like, at times I spent an hour or two writing detailed description of what are involved, and I get the response like, okay, thanks. And it's like, really, do you want to know, or do you just want to, like,
well, I think
you care?
Here, this is just a guess, but I think people are kind of skeptical of our media. So,
oh, sure.
You being a first-hand witness, maybe, hey.
But this, sure, but there's still, even, it's almost like a mentality where, like, oh, everybody says you can't trust the media, but that's the only thing you're getting fed from. So you have impression, whether or not you agree or disagree. You build impression by little things you hear and there, you know, like CNN, BBC and all this, like, you know, you just start to form your own opinion. If the media start having a similar voice, then it becomes truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all these Western media guys, like, I mean, I went and hung out at the foreign correspondent of Thailand here right before all this happened, and they really want to know what's going on, and they invited Thai analysts, political analysts over to brief them what is going on. And of course on the Thai part, it's like they weren't committal at saying what exactly was going on. And then all these foreign correspondents got super frustrated, nearly like scream on top of their lungs, like, just shut up and just tell us exactly what is going on already. So I know the vibe was like that nobody's getting through. So they have to sort of gather their own information from what they see, and sometimes, you know, it was fed to them. And I mean, I even read articles about, as far as like the PR campaign concerned, the Red did win on the PR, and the government didn't do a good job enough on the PR. It's just on the point of PR.
Yeah.
Managing Western media.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm like, okay, damn, how much are we gonna spend on this? Like, but it's really gone that far. Like, Thailand is about that. It's advertisement and commercial, and it's really bad. That's like, it became public announcement, these things. Yeah, it's really in bed, and yeah, I want to cite a very far-fetched example. I was involved in this UN documentary of something, and I went with the UN crew to a minister, a state equivalent to the state, of, not defense, but anyway, so we were
State Department.
To them the state, I'm sorry?
State Department, like diplomatic stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, this is more like a administrative stuff, but we wanted to talk about provincial issues, and in the room it was a representative of business sector. He yeah. just went sitting there to make sure that whatever the UN was trying to do or say about the local development or conservation, that the business have a voice too. And he was not.
This government thing was in charge of like the development of a local region.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So it's like, how does that work? I mean, he has an office nearby or something, that if some meeting's happening, he's just right there, making sure that, you know, all the investor and factories, all these things are represented. So, I don't know. It's pretty messed up.
And the UN there is because what, there was some like historical things or betterment of people, better, I don't know, roads, school, what was it, an improvement project? The projects they were involved with?
Well, the thing that was involved with was actually, it was one of the last provinces that had the most reserved green space, which is not zoning for factory development or such things.
Oh, well, you could see why he was involved, because he probably didn't want things to get taken too far.
Right, he wants, yeah, to, yeah, he was just, he didn't, yeah, he was just there because he heard about, I don't think he's specifically from that region, he just kind of represents the overall organization for investor or
yeah, right.
factory work.
Because I know there's a lot of lumber. In fact, this has been a problem. Too much lumber.
Well, I think lumber problems now gone to Laos.
Okay, where they just clear cut forests and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, we're out of wood. So, problem is next door now, and they are clear cutting like crazy. And that's the other concern of the region. regional concern is like development is going too fast, and in Laos they are now building dams, a lot of dams, because they want to be the next country who produce a lot of power.
Yeah.
And this is in the context of discussion about environmental ratification that nobody's really discussing. And it's not only the country, it's when you're talking about damming a river, it affects everything else along the line. And
of course.
And then the biggest issue was Chinese dam that they were building and trying to hold the water down the Mekong River, which is passed to, I think, 3-4 other countries.
Yeah, Vietnam, Cambodia.
Yeah. So it's really like it's all these problems are endless. I don't know where to begin. Like came here, it's like oh crap.
Again, you know, Laos, very poor country. They want to catch up.
Oh, yeah, they just want to jump ahead. They don't want to catch up.
And they said, and then they have, this happens with the climate discussions, too. They say, you people, when you were industrializing, you weren't so careful.
Right.
Now you want us to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what the Chinese sort of argued about the U.S.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You hear it from India, too, and stuff, and probably in Laos, too. Hey. There might be some environment problems, but we're a very poor country. We have to catch up.
Yeah. And somehow I was just hoping that all this electronic technology can just jump ahead to where people will learn how to conserve, just because the evolution of the technology is, it started earlier somewhere else, but it sped up to where, like for instance, I have a pretty good internet connection here, and it didn't take the same length of time it took to get here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just picked up the technology.
Yeah, leapfrog.
Okay.
You don't have to go through these little beginning stages that the countries that actually develop this stuff. They can take advantage.
Yeah, if there's an
I've heard about this in Africa. Instead of landlines, they immediately went to the cell phones. They didn't have to wait for the landlines. Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. So I was hoping that the trend of conserving natural resources or green anything would also, got the leapfrog thing going. To it is kind of trendy to be there's trendy words for it, conservancy and all that stuff.
You mean green?
Being green and all.
Look, do you know about this company, British Petroleum, BP?
Yeah.
Their corporate colors.
I used to work for them.
Well, their colors are green and yellow. Yeah. Sun color, tree color.
Oh, yeah, it's a similar to.
Yeah, yeah. But do you know about this accident in the Gulf of Mexico?
Oh,
yeah.
I might have heard about it.
It's incredible. I don't know how many gallons every day.
I heard that the Russians used to
just bomb them.
Bomb the opening.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So the rocks and everything. Well, for 3 days they tried burying it with mud, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
So now they're going to use robot subs to build a little house around it or something.
Yeah, it would take, 6 months?
They're going to try.
3 months.
But all the colors in your logo aren't going to help that public relation. But
no,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And in fact, in the north, I know in Thai, there's ecotourism. You want to show people nature, right? The people working with elephants. And
Well, that's what the province I went to, they were trying to fight for.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's any going to be tourism, let's just do it on the unique level, unique local level.
Yeah.
And make the tourists, sort of do things in the traditional way. And in fact, a lot of tourists also kind of would like that.
Of course. Know?
They're tired of this fucking karaoke bullshit everywhere. And t-shirt that said, I've been here.
Yeah, right.
And 7-Eleven, McDonald's.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I could see some value in that. You know, about yeah, what's exotic about another McDonald's in a T-shirt?
and the popular.
Yeah, let's play some more music because I want to talk about. I didn't get to talk about the king yet. What he said. So yeah. Some music first.
No shit.
Watt for Pedro show. We heard some stuff from Mitley there. Idol by Old Vine. Then Semi-Punk by Elena. No, Elenia. Sorry. Elenia Yopa. Elenia Yopa. Trippy Italian name. Mm-hmm. And then Satellite of Love, of course, is a Lou Reed song covered by Skin Machine, which is an Italian tribute band to the David Bowie Tin Machine project.
Yeah.
Kind of trippy. Not just David Bowie, but specific to his Tin Machine years, and they're called Skin Machine. And, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about stuff, but I got to wait till the next hour because we're running out of time here. With this, everybody, hold on, please. It's been the second hour of May 30, 2010, Wapapito Show. Hold tight for hour three and more of Miss Peak, live from Bangkok.
Outer Spaceways Incorporated, Outer Spaceways Incorporated, we travel the spaceways from planet to planet.
May 30, 2010, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
With wisdom never told, the touch of myth world's splendor, then they'll take back the others who are not of Earth's dimensions ones, the others who are ready, melody, harmonic rhythm, the plane, chromatic magic is eternal. Outward on pleasant spears, nothing is, yet everything is all pleasant neverness, the never, never land, mythic world, lightning. They'll come back in shining ships of gold, with wisdom never told, the touch of myth world's splendor, then they'll take back the others who are not of Earth's dimensions one, the others who are ready, melody, harmonic, rhythmic plane, chromatic magic is eternal, outward on pleasant spears, nothing is, yet everything is all pleasant neverness, the never, never land, mythic world's lightning, darkness.
Crops are all in and the peaches are rotting, the oranges are piling, they're creosodums. They're flying you back to the Mexican border to pay all your money and wade back again.
Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita, adios amigos.
idea you won't have a name when you ride the big airplanes. All they will call you will be deportees. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come work in the fruit trees. They rode the big trucks till they laid down and died.
Some of us are illegal and some are not wanted. When contract is out, we've got to move on. It's 600 miles to the Mexican border. They chase us like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves.
Goodbye to my wife, goodbye to Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplanes. All they will call you will be deportees.
An airplane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon.
Like a fireball of lightning, it shook all our hills. Who are these friends all scattered like dry leaves?
The radio says they are just deportees. We died in your valleys and died in your desert. We died in your hills and we died on your plains.
We died beneath your trees and we died in your bushes. Both sides of the river, we died just the same.
Goodbye to my wife, goodbye to Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplanes. All they will call you will be deportees.
Is this the best way we could grow our big orchards? Is this the best way we could grow our good fruit?
To fall like the dry leaves that ride on the topsoil and be called by no name except
deportees.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with some Sun Ra with Nothing Is, something live, I think, from Italy. Then we heard Deportees, Outer National, and that's got Mr. Tom Morello joining them. Of course, Deportees is a Woody Guthrie song. Do you know about this song? Bob Dylan covered it.
Vaguely.
There was a plane crash, and it was taking, I don't know, 20-something Latin guys back to Mexico. And but in the newspaper article, the only guys who got their names listed was the security guard and the three pilots, aircraft crew. And the other guys were just called deportees. They didn't have any names, you know. So this got people thinking, you know, maybe, you know, just the status of people, no matter what side of the border they're on, of the land. And do you know about this law that got passed in Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these guys covering this song is kind of a reaction. In fact, the Lakers just beat the Suns, you know, in the playoffs. And the Suns were calling themselves Los Suns. To tell you about, you know, maybe what they thought of it. It's kind of a polarizing issue here.
Oh, yeah, maybe it is. Easily.
And, you know, because, like, you guys have a problem what it is to be Thai. I think U.S. people have a weird thing. What is it to be, yeah. Or who owns, you know, the right to say who's who and this and that.
Yeah.
A lot of times, though, maybe I'm guessing here, but people are looking for easy answers. And straw men and scapegoats. And
which brings me to another point that I noticed, that a lot of this uneasiness is also an influence of overall internet culture. Like, every, you know, like I
what,
we said,
connectedness.
The leapfrog thing that, you know, like, the internet is everywhere, and now for the first time, poor people are unhappy because they now know what they don't have.
Ah.
Oh, they can't have.
So they learn what, envy?
Or, you know, they call it inequality and opportunity limitation by the status, you know, like elitist oppression.
Yeah.
You know?
And they have no more a bliss from ignorant or something.
Well,
oh, I forgot the third song.
The
third song was Iron Ska from a cat from Taiwan. And he, his song was called Obscene Core of Q-Dots. Interesting. But, you know, I wouldn't have known of Mr. Iron Ska without internet. So, yeah, you know, I can relate a little bit. Maybe I see things on internet that I would like.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of promotions and...
I think everybody's situation, you know, we were talking, we were interrupted earlier by a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Iggy-san. And, yeah, he's got one of these Kindle books. And, wow, Mike, 400,000 books I can read. You know, he was quite amazed. I'm doing a lot more reading. Look, Tocqueville, you know about this man? He took a visit of the United States when we were a young country. And wrote about it, Democracy in America, I think it was called. I read it, was like, well, Ig's reading it right now, you know, on his Kindle. And
you'll never see him again.
No, I'm going to see him next month. But, I mean, he was really, I could feel the enthusiasm in his voice, like, well, there's some opportunity here. Because a lot of times when I'd hear him discuss... like internet and stuff, very suspicious. People from the older generation, whoa, bunch of self-promoters, there's a bunch of lies, a lot of danger in that.
Yeah, that was actually my second point of internet culture, is that the trend of mistrust.
Yeah.
It's like, there's so much information, and they want to believe in something, and they know that there's something out there, but none of it is trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, is it being controlled? So,
but maybe that's healthy, right? To be a little skeptical that way.
But this is I've gotten is too broad. What has happened is it later, like the snowball effect, got into a delegitimization of institutions. Overall, it's from
you mean like journalism?
Media, the media, jurisdiction, everything, like the parliament, media, judiciary, sorry, and police, the military, the government, and then onward to monarchy system itself. So none of it was trustworthy.
Yeah.
And that was the fuel is being used in these speeches in this protest areas. It's like, you know, these are the very things that is keeping you down. It's all these establishments.
Yeah.
So and then so there's no one left to be the mediator on any of this.
Yeah.
That's why when you asked about the role of the king, that's like historically, yeah, he could have come out and said, look, you know,
let's calm down.
Be peaceful and talk it out or whatever. Yeah. Then he'll be respected. But then everything is up for question.
Like, right.
I can go on and on about these things, as you can tell, but like, do you see Buddhist monk in these protests?
Yeah.
Right? In these images. You know, like, nobody talks about it, but this guy started a religion. He started a Buddhist temple that is the largest in the freaking world, and it's built right here. It's tucked in, it's funded. It can house 1 million people at a time.
Wow.
And even the Buddhist leader came out and sort of under their breath and said, this is not the same Buddhism that we have had.
Not so austere.
and aside from that, it makes me like, the first thing I think of, like, what hasn't this guy tried? As far as like, he tried to be a Bill Gates successfully with his telecommunication company, and he tried to do a Scientologist, and he's doing it successfully. He's basically like adapting all kinds of successful American stories and use whatever he can and turn this country into his benefit, you know, and
including a big Buddhist temple.
Yeah, and all these monks are, like, protesting. I'm like, what the f- Because, you know why? Because the Burmese president on their own struggle.
Oh,
the
because...
The
monks really helped.
Fighting for democracy.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
So it's a working image. So
actually, you know, it goes back to Vietnam, too, because during the
60s. Yeah, with a very powerful quote.
With the man who lit himself on fire.
Exactly.
That was a very powerful image.
Yeah. So it would come something like that. It's endless.
But this battle for the mind with using images.
Very much. It's almost to me all the known things, but it doesn't seem to be very critically debated. It's always on the surface. It's almost like that's also a Thai thing. You start talking about the symptoms, but not the causes, you know? Because you have a habit of being polite and not dig too
much. Sure, sure. Okay, but let's say inside, like your own family. No, but there's divisions, right, on this issue?
Oh, yeah. And I just found out. I mean, I'm pretty strong-headed about political issues since I was young, and none of my family were. And I was the only one who ran out there and tried to, like, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah.
But that was years ago, and now, like, everybody's kind of taken a color.
Now, yeah, everyone has a position.
And I'm like, no! Why? Tell me why! And then they, like, start spilling all this jargon and rhetoric, and I'm like, come on. Really? That seemingly is worth of a cause, you know?
Yeah.
Like, democracy sounds good, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm fighting for. And it's very shallow, and that's been like this for at least 15 years that I know of, because, like, yeah, it's a very immediate gratification culture. And even signing on to a motto and slogan and be a part. The big thing about Tide is it's not maybe unlike other countries, I think, is like everyone wants to be a part of something.
Yeah.
So that's why mob mentality is so easily can be built. And that's why, on the other side of things, the nationalism mentality is kind of counted for, kind of, it was being counted.
Counted
on, like, you know, like, at the end of the day, I hope
we'll all be ties.
That we all be ties and don't kill each other.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But I think that's okay thing. As long as it doesn't get too crazy. Your mom, though, you said, kind of went through some changes. She started out as one side and kind of... Is that right?
Yeah. Through like, a little circle and understand, like, argument and stuff. When the dust settles, there's no worst case scenario wasn't really the case. So, you know... I'm talking, I guess you refer to something personal.
Your ma. You told me your ma had some kind of views and then they kind of evolved, whereas your aunt stayed hardcore.
Oh, no, I don't know. I haven't talked to my aunt and I'm supposed to, but my mom dropped by yesterday. She was fine. But no, I found out.
This is when it was first starting and it wasn't violent yet.
Yeah. But no, my mom's not involved in that stuff.
No, but she had some views, and she kind of changed her views, you told me. At first she was against them very much, and then she kind of softened up. Same thing with your couch surfers, right? At first she was, who are these people?
But like yesterday there was a Mexican guy hanging around here, and they started talking about tacos, and she was like all over it
because
she missed tacos. And everybody is like, you know, can be united through food. That's the other moral of the story.
Well, chow will bring people together.
That's right.
Okay, let's play some more music.
Play that French song for me.
I will.
Change de ville quand je veux, et nous sans domicile, je vagabonde les yeux ouverts, comme des rumeurs invisibles, me méfiant de la dulce comme de la peste. Sur la dulce, c'est une balance, une collabo, une traite. Pas dans mon expérience, sous pression, car ma juge est en colère. Laissez-moi vivre, de toute façon, j'ai plus le droit d'aller au collège. Alors merde, aujourd'hui j'ai 14 piges, quitte depuis un bout de temps. J'ai pris de la bouteille et j'ai besoin de personne. La vie m'éduque et la vadrouille m'ouvre l'esprit. Les rencontres m'apprennent bien plus que leurs profs. Bref, c'est l'école de la vie, à l'air libre, entre le ciel et le toit, entre ciment et belle étoile.
Watt from Pedro show. We started off a last chunk of music for this edition with something from his peak called Jamie Barre by Kenny Arcana.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you said she's a Argentinian.
Argentinian descent, French.
Right, right. And how'd you find this music?
A friend.
From a friend, okay. And then we heard Sherman T. from Pole Anchor. It's from Memorial Day. Larry and his son have a band, and that was for their father. Then we heard Together Alone by T.V. Smith. Do you remember the Adverts? Adverts was a punk band from the 70s in England. And the singer was T.V. Smith. And that's something he's done recently. Yeah, I got to meet him and his wife. His wife was the bass player, Gay. Gay Advert, her name was. She's a social worker now. And then we heard Truck by DMF. This is a new version.
No.
And then Fakers by Digital Waste. But both have Johnny, who came to my gig last night. I was telling him to speak here. Very excited to do a new version of Truck. And he's got to have another project with a young man named Goat called Digital Waste. And he's saying, you know, it's different, you know. He's describing what different beats, different machines. And I told him it's okay. You know, I think music's music. And I'm not so much into the genre stuff. I don't care. You know, it's all rhythms and melody or spiel, emotion, these feelings, these kind of things. And all that genre stuff is just kind of, I don't know, for marketing, maybe?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean a hill of beans in my book. So music is music.
That song I asked you to play is, I don't know, because like, I don't know French.
But you're trying to learn.
I'm trying to learn it.
Because you're going to go to Paris, right?
Huh?
You're going to Paris.
I hope so, or in the area, Strasbourg.
Strasbourg. I just played there last month. That's near Germany.
It is.
Yeah, it's in the Alsace, this place, part of France called Alsace. It's right by the border of Germany. The Rhine River is right there.
Yeah.
Beautiful cathedral in the middle of town. The middle of the town is actually a little island.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like Mexico City?
Island. It's a virtual, there's water around it. Yeah, tiny little thing. It's kind of a medieval town. Strasbourg is famous for the parliament for the EU is there.
It's supposed to be an old Europe capital or something?
Yeah, EU, European Union. That's where all the business and stuff is in Brussels and stuff, but I think the parliament is in Strasbourg. I believe so.
Okay, I have not studied.
But if you go to that town, that's a... there's a lot of architecture. It's a big German influence. It's kind of a blend of German and
French.
Yeah,
like the name of the town.
Yeah, actually. Right.
So my impression. But no, my friend Guillaume, we were talking about music that sort of signifies a certain important part of, people's life. And that was his. And then he flew it to me, and it's I don't know, it just touched me because I don't understand the lyrics, but I know that the content of it is a very political in nature, and it's a certain movement, you know, that I just really enjoyed it. And
hopefully not the racist skinhead one.
I don't know, let me learn French for a few more months and I'll get back to you. And then retract it on your show.
The political movement.
I apologize. No, it's also a woman rapper, which is, I think I saw some videos, and she's pretty fierce.
Actually, the French language works really good with rap, I think.
I don't know, but this one did, yeah.
No, my opinion. When I hear French people rapping, It goes yeah. good. It goes good.
It's weird, though. It's still weird to me with their sounding.
It is, but it's... I'm not understanding either, no parlez-vous, but the sounds, it seems to go with that kind of style. No problem.
Maybe the throat thing, it sounds angry. You have a lot of throats.
Maybe German rapping. I've heard German rapping.
Yeah, I know that.
Interesting.
Would that work too? They always sound angry without rapping. Already.
Italiano rapping, you know, every vowel word ends with a vowel, so maybe very easy.
But you understand Italian, right?
Not very well. Not very well. But I would be thinking to write lyrics where all your words end with vowels, easy rhyming. Because some forms of rap seems the rhyme is very important. Yeah. I was reading this thing on Rakim.
Nice.
Rakim was one of the first rappers to actually start rhyming in the middle of lines instead of the last words of each line.
Mm.
More sophisticated, embedded rhymes. Which is pretty tricky.
Yeah.
Pretty tricky, yeah. Much respect to him. Like his first couple albums, Eric B. and Rakim, Follow the Leader and Paid in Full was the first one I heard. And those were pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I don't know what Rakim's doing nowadays, but it's like, how far can you go? That stuff, it's to outdo yourself. It's pretty skillful. Kind of. You know, the first time I heard that style was kind of like square dancing. And they taught us square dancing in grade school. I don't know why.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
But the guy would call out the dance moves, you know, with like mm-hmm. kind of like rapping. Tell you how to dance and all this. And then, Last Poets. You know about this band? I've played some on the show here. They were in the late 60s in New York City.
No.
They've got a very interesting song about money. The dollar bill, the symbols on the dollar bill. I gotta turn you on to that. It's called E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah, the sticker on your boat.
Yeah.
Or a book or something.
Sticker?
Yeah. There's a pyramid with the eye.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, they talk about those things on it. And actually, the only music was just one guy on a conga.
Mm.
And then their voices. Interesting, they actually made an album for Casablanca, which was known for Kiss and Donna Summer. And one side of the album was this opera called Beyonder. Beyonder. And it was about, some mean people wanted to build a robot to go up and kill God.
Okay.
Doesn't work. But it's... Most because you think of Casablanca Records, very hedonistic, and then The Last Poets, very militant, a weird kind of arrangement. I think Bernard Purdy did the drums, and they had a full band on that one. I think it's called the Garden of Unearthly Delights or something. I can't remember the name of the album.
No, that's XTC.
What, they have an album like that?
Well,
you could look it up on the internet, but be skeptical of what you find out.
Garden of Earthly Delights.
Yeah. One side has got some small songs, but the other side is this three-part opera. That's pretty intense. The other side, there's a song against birth control pill. There's a song about the U.S. couldn't win against Ho Chi Minh.
One song,
I think the first song of the album is It's a Trip. It's just about, you know, how trippy life is. It's a trip. That's the chorus of the song, It's a Trip. It's a trip. Interesting band, Last Poets. Pop group covered that song about the money. Who, by the way, I heard got back together.
Oh.
But not yet, because I think the drummer's playing with Public Image, maybe, or something.
Oh.
But soon they will. That band, the pop group, had big influence on Minutemen. Yeah. Super big influence. I found out they were just teenagers when they were in that band. I met the singer, Mark Stewart. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple big talks with him.
Recently?
Last time was about a year and a half ago. I was in Berlin with him. Spent the whole afternoon with him. Into the evening. Many beers. But the first time was in maybe 3-4 years ago in Huesca, Spain. Northern part of Catalonia, actually. And yeah, very tall man. I don't know if you've ever had this where you only known a music by its music and you never met the people.
Right, you never seen what they look like?
Right, and then, well, I seen pictures, but I didn't really notice that this man was very tall.
Yeah.
And also his personality, he was a very funny guy. And some of the pop group music is so serious, you know. And he's seriously funny. He's quite a guy. His name is Mark Stewart. For a long time he had a band called Mafia. But now I guess he's going to get his old band back together. I mean, I think they broke up in 1980. It was a long time ago, 30 years ago. But to meet him was incredible. I had like 10 million questions for him. I was so foaming up so much.
You didn't do a radio show with him?
No, I didn't do a radio show, but I kind of did conduct an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of tripping out on it, but they were just so influential on us. And here's the guy, you know, one of the guys in the band, you know. It was like, wow. I just kept thinking, what would D. Boone ask him? What would D. Boone ask him? You know? And I think I was foaming so hard. I know at one point he actually asked me, hey, have you ever had a girlfriend?
Is it? Ever?
No, because he was probably, you know, tripping out on how intense I was on him. You know.
Oh, right.
I was the fanboy. Sure. The fanboy.
Oh. You kicked out on him.
A little bit. Yeah, it was a trip. It was a trip.
It happens to the best of us.
Well, you know.
Put me in front of Brad.
All I knew was just his music, you know. And then here's, yeah, like if you were with Geddy Lee or something, maybe you would be foaming.
Die.
Huh? You would be foaming it up.
But,
somebody told me the drummer lives in Southern California, the Rush drummer.
He's married to a photographer.
Ah.
That's what I heard. So is the guitar player too, right, Alex?
He lives in Southern California too. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because they're a Montreal band or?
What the
hell
is that?
Ottawa?
Ottawa, yeah.
Okay, that's Ontario.
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto, the big town. Okay.
Toronto. Oh, I'm failing.
No, but Toronto... Toronto belongs to the province of Ontario, so maybe that's what you're thinking.
Yeah,
you're right. I thought I met one of them in Montreal, though. I was on tour with Primus, and I think I met the guitar man. Yeah.
Alex, right?
Yeah. It was in Montreal, I think. Maybe it was in Toronto. Yeah, maybe it was Toronto. God, my memory is terrible.
Yeah, every time back to the music that signifies an important part of life. Like, every time I feel so distraught in life, I just turn on Rush and I just roll with it. I'm like,
everything's happy?
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I have to go through the epic album. All of them.
Really? There isn't just one key happy song?
No. It's not like that. The band is the whole story. You have to go through the entire album.
The whole 2112 opera?
That's right. Pharaoh's King. Great sense of pressure. Fly by night.
Spirit of Radio?
Yes. Well, that's only a song.
It's only a song. Too small a context. Did they ever play Thailand? I know they've played all over the world. I wonder if they have played Thailand.
They have a song called
Last Train to Bangkok or something. Last Train to. I think it's on 2112.
Yeah.
Actually, I went. I saw that tour when I was younger. My best friend Tony Platton.
Your other friend that dragged you
in. The pool cleaner friend, Tony, great friend, and he loves Rush. Yeah. And then the second time I saw him was with you, maybe last year or year before.
Who are you saying, maybe?
I fell asleep.
Nokia. Yes.
Embarrassing.
But you were on your way out of country too, like the next morning.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You just came from a gig or something weird.
That's right.
Rehearsal, I think, or something.
Practice. Actors rehearse.
Good sport.
Okay, real quick, because we're almost out of time. What do you think the future holds now? After all this violence has calmed down and people are cleaning up?
It's up to me now. I'm going to tell the people of Thailand what's good for them, which is they have to recognize their... It's the same struggle I go through my life. Like, I run around trying to fit in, whenever when I moved to the U.S. And I came around to the recognition that there are certain attributes that are unique to the country, that they need to really look into it, and they have to look into the inequality and really use that, nation's unity theme, and really, really believe it and help each other instead of telling, who has the answer, and really make more education towards what democracy really is, not mob rules.
Yeah.
And really, have a better understanding of who's funding what and for what purpose,
There's going to be new elections?
Going to be. Well, they turned down the offer. The last offer of this year, November. So
November's not happening. Oh.
No. So his term is supposed to end in 2012.
Okay.
We'll see, because the Reds really vow to take everything underground, and that's why there's a hunt for Thaksin right now and trying to charge him with terrorism and stuff.
Right.
A very heavy charge that carries a death penalty, but. A lot of people want him, disappeared. So,
he's in England, right?
No, he's a new citizen of Montenegro.
That's right. Yeah, Montenegro, which is the former Yugoslavia.
Yeah, former Yugoslavia. It's like, I don't know how that works. But he keeps getting employed by different countries, want to hire him for... business stuff.
Yeah, Montenegro is a new country.
A lot of money.
It's like near Albania and Serbia.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get him to, get turned over and ask the Interpol, international police, to help, but no, charges are not strong enough. I don't know. It's very passive too. The Thais are not very aggressive as laying down the law, the reasons to really, go after him, because they haven't done anything solid. And of course, if you were to perpetrate some kind of, almost illegal revolution, then you would leave trails of things that you can get charged with. He's smart enough to have got himself above the law a long time ago, so he's not going to get...
Sure. And if he does get, if he was taken disappeared, there still would be problems that have to be fixed.
That's he's just kind of make problems worse of the existing trend, which he helped set up the trend. He's His policy when he was a there's plenty of things that happened during his administration. Some people believe that that was like the best progress the Thai had ever seen, but some people argue that it's because he let in too much foreign investment that the country actually started losing national ownership, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a really important issue, because the Thais, it's really hard to become Thai citizen for some reason. Like, foreigner, you know, even they married a Thai, they have to still do visa run every 6 months, which means that they have to leave the country and
get visa.
Yeah, and they can never own land, things like that, you know. So the thing that people don't really discuss is like the economic model that he was doing, and he was making a lot of money out of it too, for his corporation and companies. This the problem is there's just so many.
Are you hopeful? Bottom line.
Sure. That's because I don't. Yeah. It depends on my mood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
So.
Okay. And I want to wish you good luck on your voyages to U.S., Europe. And you return to Thailand September?
September, yeah.
Okay. And we'll talk to you again from there to see what has happened. And please find some interesting music for me.
I'll try.
Okay. It's been May 30th, 2010, Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you, Miss Peek, for being aboard.
You're welcome.
Everybody, keep your powder dry.